Let's go into God's word. Let us agree in prayer. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this evening that as we go into the word, our hearts are receptive to receive your word. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we'll just continue around. We'll just continue along the line in which we started believers' conduct. We started that a few weeks ago, and we're paying attention to God's word about our conduct as saints. If you have the Bible, start with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at 2 Timothy 3, quickly. 2 Timothy 3. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. He says, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. He says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. At this particular point in time, scriptures will mean Genesis to Malachi. Yeah, exclusive of the book of Timothy, because at that time, Paul was just writing a letter to Timothy. So Paul was writing a letter and he was stating that the scriptures that Timothy also knows about, with at the time the book of Timothy wasn't in existence, yeah, but it says that they have an ability to make us wise, or make the wise unto salvation that is through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, it says, "All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine," it says, "for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So we've seen something very important. The scriptures are inspired by God and there are advantages for teaching. That's the word there, doctrine. The word there, profitable, is the word advantages. So there are advantages for doctrine. There are advantages for doctrine. In doctrine, we have reproof. That word there, reproof, is the word that means assurance. Yeah, so scriptures are to give us an assurance about something. Yeah, he told us in verse 16 that scriptures are to make us wise unto salvation. So if scriptures are to make us wise unto salvation, it means that if scriptures are to give us an assurance, if they were to give us an assurance in reference to salvation. Hallelujah. Yeah, so he says that for advantages for teaching, for reproof, yeah, for correction. That word there, correction, means to rectify or to straighten up. He says, "For instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Hallelujah. So it means that there is a purpose of scriptures, that to make us advantageous, or that we are to see scriptures as an advantage for us, yeah, in which we use for teaching, yeah, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. Now, Paul writes something to Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, quickly. Look. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. See what Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah, so grace be to you and peace from the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We establish that the Father is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9 verse 6. "Unto us a child is given, unto us upon his shoulder, his son is born." Yeah, "and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God." So Jesus is that Everlasting Father who is the Mighty God. John chapter 14 verse 6, you know, 7, a conversation between Jesus and Philip. And Philip asked Jesus to show them the Father, and that will be all they needed. You know, and Jesus said, "Have you been so long with me, Philip, and you don't know the Father?" Yeah, so Jesus explains that to mean that he is the Father. So if you want to know who the Father is, we see Jesus. Yeah, so in Galatians chapter 1 verse 3, it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father that is from our Lord Jesus Christ." So our Lord Jesus Christ is that Father who is the Mighty God. He now says in verse 4, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father." You see, our Father again. Yeah, who is that our Father? That our Father will be that same person in verse 3, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. So our Lord Jesus Christ is equal to the Father in verse 3 and equal to the Father in verse 4. He says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Verse 6, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. Yeah, I marvel means that I'm concerned, I'm bothered, that you are so soon removed from him that called you, yeah, into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So there's something called a perversion to the gospel of Christ. There is something called a perversion to the gospel of Christ. Now, the perversion to the gospel of Christ is what Paul calls a message that troubles. Hallelujah. Yeah. But look at what Paul says in verse 8, which is very instructive. Paul says, but we. Hallelujah. Paul includes himself. He says, but if we, including Paul, including myself, or an angel from heaven, should preach any other gospel unto you. So once we hear a different message that is different from the message that Paul had preached, that the disciples and apostles had preached, it means that it is another gospel. What is that? What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. Paul highlights it there. Moreover, brethren, I deliver unto you that which I first received, that which makes you saved. Yeah, what is it? How that Christ died for your sins, our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. So what is Paul saying? Paul is really saying that the gospel doesn't trouble. Yeah, the gospel doesn't trouble. Now, the word of God brings correction. But the gospel, which is there, the word of God really, yeah, which is what we use or which is we teaching the gospel, doesn't bring trouble to the heart. What does it mean to bring trouble to your heart? It means that word there, trouble, we look at that word there, trouble, to be the word that implies fear, anxiety. Yeah, so the gospel actually, even though it brings correction to our heart, in the correction it brings, yeah, our convictions about our eternal state are supposed to be deepened. So we would have deepened convictions. We would have deepened convictions. So with this, we are looking at what to do and what not to do as saints. Yeah, an average saint has questions about what to do, what not to do. What can I do, Pastor? What can I do, Mrs.? You know, and we established that what the new covenant doesn't give commandment of thou shalt not eat, thou shalt not wear this, your skirt must be this, your trouser must be this, your that must be this, your this must be this. Yeah, in fact, so that is what makes it more interesting, yeah, which leaves a lot of us faced with questions of about what to do and what not to do. So see what Paul says in Galatians 5. We are in Galatians, we'll look at Galatians 5, 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. See what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. He says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Galatians 5 verse 1, it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty. Yeah, so there's a liberty that we have been called into in verse 13, which is what he told the Galatians to stand first in it. So stand fast in the Greek word that means stand firm. Yeah, so stand firm therefore in the liberty. Yeah, now where the Spirit of Lord, the Lord is, there is liberty. Paul explains that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. So there's a liberty that we have received as saints. Let me say it this way. Upon believing the gospel, we've been delivered from bondage into the marvelous light. We've been delivered from darkness into the marvelous light. We've been delivered from the hold or the grip of the devil into God's everlasting and loving arm. Yeah. So what does salvation offer? Salvation offers a deliverance from the hand of the devil. Salvation offers what? An everlasting love given to mankind. Yeah, so in that there is liberty. Yeah, we are free. We are made free. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, I'm free in Christ Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I am free in Christ Jesus. I am free in Christ Jesus. Look at what Paul says about that, your freedom. Stand fast, therefore, in that liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in that liberty. Say it again. Stand firm, therefore, in that liberty. Are you free? Yes, Paul acknowledges that. Yeah, stand fast in that. Stand firm in that. Yeah, stand firm in that. You know, so standing first, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it means that true liberty is living as we should, not as we please. So that again, true liberty would involve living as we should, not as we please. Yeah, you see, because the New Testament doesn't give do's and don'ts, there's a tendency for a man in Christ to want to live a life the way he pleases. No, the saint is called to live a life as he should, not as he would or as he pleases. God has called us and given us something called freedom. Paul says what? Stand fast, therefore, in that liberty. Look at verse 13 again. He says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Ye have been called unto liberty. Yeah, stand firm, stand first in that liberty. Ye have been called unto liberty. He now says something interesting. He says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. So mankind has a tendency to believe the gospel and see it as a license to live a very sinful life. Yeah, but the gospel is a message that shows that we've been delivered from what? A life without life, and we've received the life of God. Hallelujah. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Praise God. Look at what Paul says again in verse 13. He says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. See what it says? But by love, serve one another. So there is something called serving one another by love. So we are to, by love, serve one another. So we are to consider our brothers and not live a careless life. So in the actions we do, we are to know that the actions we do, we are to do them as a form of service. Yeah, now, did Paul acknowledge when we have a liberty? Yes. He says, ye have been called. He didn't say, you will be called. Ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. What does he really say? Yeah, don't use liberty that you have to live a life as you please. No, but use that liberty that you have to live a life as you should. What is that you should? That you should is that by love serve one another. Hallelujah. For all the law in verse 14 is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So it means that in every action we make, we consider others. Yeah, we are to serve others by loving. We are to love others by serving. So love is a form of service that we render to our fellow brethren. So the question doesn't now become, am I pleased with this or am I what, helping a fellow brother? Am I leading a fellow brother on? Am I leading a fellow brother away from that which he should? Glory to God. You see, because as saints, we are all product of influences. Yeah, that is why the scriptures expect we live a life as we should. See, there is not a man on earth who is not a product of an influence. We are a product of influence. See, if you like, say, oh, I don't like being on that. Oh, I always want to. Yeah, you heard that doctrine. You heard that teaching. You heard that slang from somewhere. Yeah, see, the reason why you eat the way you eat is because you were influenced by one or two people around you. Let's see it this way. Look at it. So if you eat the way you eat and you cannot trace it to someone around you who eats that way, for instance, it means that the people that eat that way, that do not eat that way around you, the fact that they do not eat that way influences how you eat that way. What do I mean? You see me using my fork to eat on my right hand and my knife on my left hand, right? And you grew up watching me do that. Now, when you are 20 years old or 25 years old, you now decide not to eat that way. Yeah, what influenced you not to eat that way? It is my action. So my action, you decided to be influenced by my action. My action did not influence you to eat the way I eat, but influence you not to eat the way I eat. You are still a product of influence. Yeah, so every man on earth is a product of influence. We are all products of influence. Hallelujah. So think about this way. Why do you think about this way? That when you go to a tailor, a lot of times, not a lot of us know how to articulate what design we want. We always have a picture we have seen, meet with another picture. In fact, even those of us who think that we know how to imagine or paint pictures on our head, it is pictures from somewhere that influenced it. So you must have seen a picture of a native without a pocket. Yeah, and you decide to do a native, or you want your tailor to do a native that has a pocket. Yeah, what influenced you to want to do a native that has a pocket is in the fact that you saw someone do a native without a pocket. You are still a product of influence. So man by default is impressionable. Man by default is influenceable or influential. So man by default can easily be influenced. So the Christian life that we have is a life that we've received in Christ Jesus. However, there is a life that should be expected from us. So we are not to live carelessly. We are not to live, for instance, some Christians live in open sin and they are deliberate about it and they are proud of it. No, there is a lifestyle expected from the saints. Hallelujah. Your sinning or your non-sinning doesn't deliver you from the wrath to come. What delivers a man from wrath to come is believing the gospel. Yeah. So if you don't believe the gospel, you are doomed for wrath. Yeah. John 3:36. If you do not believe the gospel, you are eternally doomed for wrath if you sleep. Yeah. Bible says that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. So, how do you escape the wrath of God? Not by not sinning. You only escape the wrath of God by receiving the life that God has made available in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, there is only one way to escape damnation. The only way to escape damnation is by believing the work of God in Christ Jesus. What is that work? The great work of resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. So what does Paul say again? He says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. What does that really mean? It really means that what? A Christian, irrespective of his conduct, doesn't influence his eternal state. Yeah. What influences your eternal state is your believing or not believing. Yeah. Hallelujah. However, there is a lifestyle, there is a conduct expected from you as one who believes. Yeah. Because you cannot say you have the life of God and not live a life that exhibits the life of God. Yeah, so you cannot say you have the life of God and live a life that encourages people to want to remain in darkness. Yeah, you hear people say things like this: if that brother is a Christian, I can never become a Christian in my life. Yeah, you also hear people say something like this: if that brother is a pastor, I'm an archangel. Yeah, see, people make those statements because of conduct exhibited. Yeah, whether they sarcastically insult you or sarcastically talk about how terrible you are in conduct, a man is saved only by believing the work of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, yeah, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. See, what does walk in the Spirit mean? He told us in verse 13, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So walk in the Spirit is equal to by love render service to others. By love serve one another. So in your conduct, love is the foundation of your action towards others, around others, amidst others. So what is then I say? This I say then in verse 16. Walk in the Spirit. What is walk in the Spirit? It actually means walk in love. Hallelujah. Yeah. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See verse 17. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye should. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13 quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. So what it says? It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Yeah, the moment I say it is wrong, and the Bible doesn't teach it. Remember on Sunday, we saw Paul warning about seducing spirit. Yeah, what is seducing spirit? A doctrine that speaks lies in hypocrisy. So we must be careful in teaching sound doctrine that we don't say what scripture doesn't. Go back to Galatians 5:13 again. Look at that again. Galatians 5 verse 13. Yeah? Galatians 5 verse 13. Paul and the apostles teaches that faith and faith alone in the work of Christ makes a man saved and saved forever. Moment I begin to teach that your conduct influences your salvation. No. Then I'm teaching another gospel. Paul says, let me be accursed. The word they accursed there, we said it, to not go close to. Be separated. Don't touch. Keep aside, put away. Look at 1 Peter. Look at Galatians 5, verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not this liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Let me say it again. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Yeah, but by love serve one another. Look at 1 Peter 2:16. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 16. See what it says then. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at 1 Peter 2:16. Look at 1 Peter 2:16. See what it says there. 1 Peter 2:16. It says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God, by love serve one another. So the liberty we have should be make us servants of God, or we serve the brethren, yeah, by love, in love, through love. Look at it again. It says, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, what is Paul teaching? What is Peter teaching? They're teaching that love is the litmus paper or the litmus test for right or wrong. We are gradually landing where I want us to land in this series. Yeah, I'll say it again. Love is the litmus test for right or wrong. Look, let me say this way. If you have a question in your heart, is this right? Is this wrong? The question is, what does the scripture teach? The scripture teaches that love is the litmus test to know whether right or wrong. See, the moment I come out and say that the Bible says that thou shalt not smoke, yeah, I'm teaching extra biblical activities. I'm teaching what the Bible doesn't teach. I'm teaching what Paul did not teach. I'm teaching what Jesus never taught. None of the apostles taught. Yeah, the question that becomes, that still remains a question in the hearts of people. Are we together? Yeah, the moment I begin to teach the level and the length of what you should wear, the level and the length of what you should not wear, I am almost beginning to teach anti-scriptures. I'm almost beginning to what? Beat around the bush. I'm almost to begin to, I'm really what? Extra biblical. That's something, what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. Love is the litmus test for right or wrong. Is this clothes right for me to wear or wrong for me to wear? Love is the litmus test. See, once you go through that question, through the lens of love, you will have an answer, except you are insincere. I'll say that again. Yeah, the moment you find yourself in a very serious and confusing state, and you are asking, is this right? Is this wrong? Is this not right? Is this not wrong? Is this not good? Is this not bad? Yeah, and you pass through the lens of that love as litmus paper, litmus test, yeah, and you say you don't still know, then you are insincere with yourself. So, the question now for a believer should aggravate or should pass from, is this thing wrong or right? But it should pass on to what does the love of God say? What will the love of God do? Are you here? Yeah, what will the love of God do? It should be the fundamental question we ask in the activities or conduct or the way we conduct ourselves in our day-to-day activities. See, if you remove the love of God from your motives, actions can become sinful. Altogether. So the question, the big question is, what will the love of God do? What will the love of God do? What will the love of God do? Hallelujah. The love of God is a litmus test that puts solutions, that brings solutions and answers to questions we have in our hearts. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. It says, for ye brethren, Galatians 5, ye have been called unto liberty. Yeah, but do not use this liberty, yeah, to give into flesh, but by love serve one another. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. So Paul says again, he says, all things are lawful. So he said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and said it in 1 Corinthians 10:23. See what he says again? We've read that earlier today. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, not everything that is right I can do. You might be lawfully permitted to do that, but it doesn't mean that the scripture teaches that. What does the love of God say? What does the love of God say? What does the love of God teach? Yeah, so the question for a believer is not just about, I don't think there's anything wrong in that. See, it's not about your thinking or not thinking. It's about what the word says. So it's not about I personally think that this is in my own opinion. No. See, as Christians, we don't talk in our opinions. We talk in God's opinion in the word. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. Yeah, as Christians, we don't talk in our personal opinions. We don't have opinions. Yeah, in fact, so in the real sense, even if we have personal opinions, they must be well guided by the word. So even though we say in my opinion, what you should be saying in your opinion should be what the word says. So it's not about your personal opinion. It's not about what the world is saying right now. God's word doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So I don't think it is wrong. I don't think, Pastor, let all the men be self-conscious now. Let them be self-controlled. No matter, we talk on Sunday. Scripture doesn't teach that only men should have self-control. Self-control is for both men and women in Christ. Once you are in Christ, yeah, you are called to self-control. Are we together? So I don't think this is wrong. But Pastor, you know, is this thing? You know, we are, Pastor, you know, we're just coming together. We're just, you know, me and my former classmates in secondary school, we say we want to meet at the barbecue. Pastor, what should I wear? See, once you bring such a question to me, and I'm when I tell you that from the word of God, no, I cannot teach from the word of God what you should wear to the beach. But the question you should ask yourself, and I would ask you, is what would the love of God do? Oh, glory to God. Yeah, you see, if we can use that question or put that question at the forefront of our minds, a lot of our unanswered questions would be answered. What will love of God do? What will God's love 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 do? And Pastor, you know, there's a cloth for a season. Yeah, it's summer. There's a cloth for a season. It's winter. Pastor, there's a cloth for... What will the love of God do? What? See, the love of God is that litmus test to know the right or no right from wrong. What does the love of God say? What does the love of God teach? What does God's word teach? Paul says all things are lawful. Yeah, you can agree to say by law we should wear so and so for a birthday bash. You can say we should wear so and so for a pre-wedding shoot. You can say we should wear so and so. Yeah, Paul says all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Not all things are expedient. Not all things are expedient. If you remove the love of God from your motives, actions can be considered as sinful. What the Hebrew says, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord in you. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 8 quickly. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Glory to the Lamb. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's pay attention to this quickly. You see, 1 Corinthians 8, it says, now as touching things offered to idols. Yeah, he says what? We know that we all have knowledge. What is Paul saying to the Corinthians? We know doctrine. We know we all know doctrine. Yeah? But knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. You see that? Love would only bring edification. Knowledge can, see, look at it. You can be a believer, and because you know so much about the Bible, you begin to do things because of your knowledge. What did Paul say? Knowledge can puff up. What edifies? Charity. So it means that even in your knowledge, there must be something called charity. What is that? Love. Oh, glory to God. Paul now engages the spiritual gifts and the manifestation to what? Love. 1 Corinthians 13. So Paul is saying knowledge puffs up. Yeah, he's talking about context. He's saying that knowledge has the ability to make yourself, to see yourself as a semi-demigod in the recent year in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but you can have a tendency to, no. See, they don't know. He now gives an example of what they were battling with. Now, go back to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. You see, you will notice in the book of Corinthians that what one of the issues that Paul was addressing was their arrogance. Knowledge puffed up. Yeah, and that arrogance was influencing their conducts. Please, I want us to follow attentively in this series. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 6. Look at what it says. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no man of you be puffed up for all against another. So Paul has been teaching about what? People being puffed up in Corinth. What is the puffed up? Their knowledge puffed them up. Yeah, like baked. Okay, yeah. So their knowledge puffed them up. Yeah, what has it been? What is puffed up? Arrogance. So what is it saying in 1 Corinthians 8? Knowledge has a tendency to make you arrogant. Did you get that? What is he addressing? Conduct. See, we are grateful that we have the book of Corinthians because we see an example of a church exhibiting poor conduct to a level, being corrected. Are we together? Paul said, look at, to a church that Paul is talking about conduct. See what he says in verse 16 of chapter 3. Yeah? Chapter 3, verse 16. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Now, Paul doesn't teach that because of your poor conduct, you are no longer the temple of God. Yeah, what makes you the temple of God? It is the work of God, not your work. See, the room that God stays, who prepared it? It was God himself, not you. Oh, glory to God. See, the room, let's imagine. The room, think about it this way. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Think about it this way. Imagine you want to have Jesus as a guest in your house. Think about it. Think about it. See, imagine you want to have me as a guest in your house. Yeah, in the real sense, you want to use your hand to sweep your room. You want to use your hand to lay your bed. You mop the floor, clean everything that is dusty. Now imagine God being a visitor in your room. Yet, he's the one coming into your house. Yet, he's the one that prepares the room that you will stay. Glory to God. Yeah, Jesus, by the work of resurrection, has made us the temple of God. We are the eternal temple and dwelling place of the Lord Jesus Christ. God dwells in us forever. So, God dwells in us forever. What is Paul teaching? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. He has been talking about a doctrine from verse 13. Yeah, we'll look at that in days to come. Look at verse 4, chapter 4 again. He says, chapter 4, verse 6, he says what? Knowledge what? Knowledge what? No one of you be puffed up for one against another. Look at verse 18. Think about 18. Now some of you are puffed up as though I would not come to you. What is that? Arrogance. So he's been teaching about puffed up. He said it in verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 18. Look at verse 19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up. So he was dealing with the major issue of arrogance. So there was so much arrogance in Corinthians. Look at that. Look, see the extent of their arrogance in chapter 5. Let me show you something. Yeah, see the extent of their arrogance in chapter 5. See verse 1. It is reported, chapter 5 verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. See, what is the main issue in this fornication among you? And such fornication as is not even named amongst the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So the kind of fornication that the people of Corinth were committing were things that were not even named amongst unbelievers. Yeah, that one should have his father's wife. So it means that you could literally see that no unbeliever clearly puts his father's wife as his wife, or should have intimacy with his father's wife. But it was found in Corinth. Why was it found in Corinth? Because knowledge had gone to their head. They did not apply their knowledge to it law for it to reflect in their conduct. What did he say about it? Verse 2, ye are puffed up, ye are puffed up, ye are puffed up, ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned. So rather than mourn about it, they were arrogant in their error. They were arrogant in their poor conduct. Are we together? That he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, so see what it says. So it says in verse 4, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when ye gather together, it means that when the saints come together. So it means that coming together is an instruction in scriptures. We are to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Take note, he has already established that the saints are the temple of God. Yeah, destruction of the flesh will not mean destroying the person. Yeah, Jesus delivered us from the hand of Satan. Paul cannot be saying, let's deliver one who commits fornication to Satan. No. It is a figure of speech. Yeah, that he might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, look how he says in verse 6. He says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little living leaveneth the whole lump? He now says, purge out therefore the old living, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unliving. So a Christian is perpetually unliving. However, there are some conducts in the or among the saints that it can be considered as living. So he says, a little poor conduct leaveneth the whole lump. Look at verse 6 again. He says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little living leaveneth the whole lump? So a little poor conduct has a tendency to influence the entire church. You didn't get that. That is because we are impressionable. We are influenceable. We are influential. We are product of influences, of influence. So he says a little leaven can affect the whole. So if you have a church of 50 people and one is living in open sin, that alone has a tendency to influence the remaining 49. You see, generally speaking, bad usually is easily influenceable. Hallelujah. Yeah. So he says, purge out the old living, that you may be a new lump. Look at what he says in chapter 13, verse 14. Chapter 13, verse 14. Chapter 13, verse 4. See, I say, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profited me nothing. So knowledge puffs up, love edifies. Let me say it again. Love edifies, knowledge puffs up. So is Paul saying don't have knowledge? No. But actually, love your knowledge. Love must be the foundation for your knowledge. Love must be mixed or well mixed with your knowledge. else we'll be living in open arrogance. Yes, so go back to 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8. First Corinthians 8. So, now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. You know, people use that scripture for what, you know, for things today, when you see people teaching sound doctrine. You see, when you understand scriptures very well, and you see, and you teach sound doctrine, there's a tendency for an average person to think you are proud. Yeah, that's simple. Yeah, anyways. Yeah. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. So he's not saying what is he saying? You might know everything, you might know all the Greek words, you might know everything required. Yeah, but the moment love is not the foundation, hallelujah. The moment love is not the foundation, there's a problem somewhere. Look how it says in verse 3. If any man is love, if any man loves God, the same is done of him. Look at it. So it means that knowledge puffs up, love edifies. So it means that whatever action we do, we must look for what brings edification to others. So your knowledge will make you say, I can do what I want. I can if I want to do. Nothing wrong. But your actions that stem from love will bring edification to others. Look what it says in verse 7. 8:7. It says, howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of idols, unto this hour, they eat it as a thing offered unto idols, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So, he commends them for having knowledge. That's clear. Yeah? He now commends, the problem of Corinth was not the knowledge. They had knowledge, but they were in knowledge or arrogantly in knowledge. How do we know they were arrogantly in knowledge? That reflected in their conduct. Oh, yes, it's. I hope you're here. So he says that, how be it, this knowledge, oh, we know you know this knowledge. Okay, let's now understand what this knowledge is really speaking about. Go back to, see verse 7 again. He says, how be it, there is not in every knowledge. What is every knowledge? Let's go back to verse 4. See verse 4. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. So idol worshipping, idol rendering of sacrifice to idols did not start today. This Corinth. Paul says, as concerning the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in this world, and that there is no other God but one. That is a knowledge we know. Paul is not fighting them for knowing. Paul is fighting them for not mixing their knowledge with love, because mixing your knowledge with love brings edification. Are we together? Yeah. For though there be that are called gods, that means there are people who are called gods, say, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. So there are many lords, there are many gods. But to us, glory to God, there is one God, the Father of whom all are all things, and we in him. Hallelujah. So you can see, even though Paul spoke in chapter 5 about how one of them or some of them were living in open sin, what did he say? He says, we in him, we are still in him. We are one Lord, we have one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Paul acknowledges, so remember I said something, when you bring correction to the saint, you must bring, make sure that what the saint has a deepened conviction about his eternal state in Christ Jesus. Yeah, the moment we teach that your conduct influences your eternal state, Paul says what? It is another gospel. It troubles your heart. It brings fear. It brings anxiety. So as saints, we are not scared about this, what you call the second coming. Actually, we look for what to eat. Yeah, so a message that makes you scared, have anxiety. No, it's not the message of the gospel. So what is Paul saying? He says that howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. What knowledge? How that there's only one God, even though there are many gods. How that there's only one God, there's only one Jesus Christ, even though there are many lords and many gods. That knowledge is only in us, it's not in everybody. For some with conscience of idols, unto this particular hour, that time, they eat food offered to idols as things offered unto idols, and their conscience. So what does it affect? Their conscience. So your knowledge not mixed with love affects the conscience of others. Or rather, let's read that better. And their conscience being weak is defiled. So what is defiled? Their conscience. What defiles their conscience? The fact that you do not mix your knowledge with love. Are we together? So Paul uses a practical example with the saints. Look at verse 8. He says, but meat commended us not to God. What is he saying? How can you say meat is what makes you saved or not saved? How can you say it's because you ate meat you are in Christ? How can you say because you ate meat? See, this alone answers questions to communion. Remember, like we've done hours upon hours upon hours upon that teaching. Yeah, eating bread, breaking wine, really is, you don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to. It's not a struggle in scriptures. It's a, like I would say, for lack of better phrases, it's a waste of time. Teach God's word. You can heal the people with words of your mouth by laying on of hands. Yeah, but meat commended us not to God. What does that mean? So bread commended us not to God. So there is nothing significant about bread and wine. That's what Paul is teaching there. Now, how did Jesus teach it? Go back to Mark quickly. Go to the book of Mark quickly. Let me show you something in the book of Mark. Look at Mark 7. Verse 14. Look at Mark 7, verse 14. See what it says there. He says, and when he called all the people unto him, that is Jesus, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you. There is nothing from without a man that entering into a man can defile him. Now, remember, where is Jesus teaching from Genesis? He's saying that Adam did not eat a fruit that defiled him. No. He said, see what he says. See verse 18. He said, okay, let's take it easy. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man. If any man has here, let him hear. Look at verse 17. And when he entered into the house, the people came, and they were asking him about the parable. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entering into the man cannot defile the man? What does Paul say? Meat commended us not to God. Look at it. But it entered not into his heart, verse 19, but into his belly, and going out to the dry, purged all meat. All together, look about 1 Corinthians quickly. 1 Corinthians 7, 8. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, verse 8. Meat commended us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better. So if you eat meat or you don't eat meat, it doesn't change anything about your eternal state. Either the meat is offered to idols. So it means that with your knowledge, you can pick a meat. Look at it. You can see a meat offered to Shango and go and eat it. And see, this is not unconscious eating. You can eat it and nothing will happen to you. Nothing will happen to your eternal state. Yeah, maybe you eat, maybe they put anything, really. Maybe, see, okay, let me say this way. What would, if anything happens to a Christian who eats a meat apple that offer to a, let me sort of say, you might not like me. Yeah, but meat commended us not to God. You see, when I really say you might not like me, it's not because I want you to like me. It's just a figure of speech. But you know, I'll usually say what I wanted to say, but not at that time. So your mind will not be there. So, but meat commended us not to God, for neither if we eat, are we better. Neither if we eat not, are we the worst. So what is Paul teaching? We all know that there's only one God. So all these people that are wasting animal, giving to an idol worshiping, they are wasting their food. So he's saying that if we don't eat, altogether. So love plus knowledge, yeah. So I'm supposed to mix love with my knowledge. I'm supposed to see verse 9, the same liberty. But take heed, what did Paul say in Galatians? Stand firm. Are we following together? Yeah. What did Paul say in Galatians 5 verse 1? Stand firm in that liberty. Altogether, what is Paul saying in 1 Corinthians? Take heed, lest by any means of this liberty of yours, it should become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So why should you not allow knowledge to be only that which thing or that influences the things you do? There are those who are weak, that their conscience being weak can be defiled by your actions. Yeah, what can be defiled? Their conscience, not their eternal state if they are saved. Their conscience. So take heed. Stand firm in that liberty way which you are called. Yeah? Take heed, lest by any means by this liberty of yours, it should be so. Do allow your liberty to become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Are we together? So epignosis, which is what knowledge. So your love must be plus your knowledge. Let me say it this way. Your knowledge must be with a mixture of love. Charity. Remember we thought, just like faith without my works. So your faith in the work of Christ is what makes you saved and that alone. But there is a place for faith without work, which is dead. So love without knowledge is dead. That's God's Palace translation. Knowledge without love, or love without knowledge, is dead, is inoperative, is inactive. Why? Because it makes the conscience of people who are weak to be defiled. So I must begin to use my knowledge in the eyes of the love of God, dear saints. I'll say that again. The love of God influences how I apply my knowledge. Oh, glory to God. So it's not just about I can do anything I like. I'm saved in Christ and forever. We know all of that. Paul says that, how be it, there is not in every man that knowledge, verse 7. Not in every man that knowledge. So I must begin to use my knowledge in the eyes or through the eyes of the love of God. So the more of the word I know, the less of self I think. Did you get that? The more I understand God's word, the more I have better knowledge about God's word, the less of self. But what? Love, 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 love. Paul says we know that there's no idol. There's nothing wrong in eating food offered to idol. But for the conscience of those who are weak, you defile them. What is defiling them? Yeah, becoming a stumbling block to them that are weak. So conscience is something we have based on what we hear or believe. Look at Romans 14:6. Quickly, before I come back here, Romans 14:6. Romans chapter 14, verse 6. See what it says. He that regarded the day, regarded it unto the Lord. And he that regarded not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, heateth to the Lord. And for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Yeah, look at verse 14. See what it says in verse 14. I know, and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is nothing unclean in itself. What did Paul say in Corinthians? All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Say that again. I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So when you see a brother who thinks there is something wrong in eating salamit, yeah, in the real sense, you know that there's no other God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, to him it is unclean. But that salah meat, that meat in itself, there is nothing unclean of itself or in itself. There's nothing unclean about that meat. What is Paul teaching? Yeah, salah meat or no salah meat. If you eat salah meat or don't eat salah meat, you know, for the longest of time while I was growing up, in fact, for more than 90% or 95% of my life, in fact, I think I had my first salah meat maybe last year. Yeah, for the most of my life, I have not eaten what they call. Once I see meat, I might want to eat it. But when you tell me salam ram, I might not want to eat it. Yeah, in the real sense, what is Paul saying? He says what? That man which esteemed that thing to have a significant meaning, yeah, about the meat called salam meat, yeah, to him it is unclean. But actually, there is nothing unclean of itself. Hallelujah. So go back to 1 Corinthians again, where we are, 1 Corinthians 8. See what it says again. It says, so conscience is something we have based on what we hear or not. Or believe. So what is Paul teaching from verse 8? But meat commended us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we worse. So Paul is saying, as sin, there are some things we can do without. What did he say in the previous chapters we looked at? He said, what? All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. I'll say that again. There are some things we can do without. Are we together? Like I said on Sunday, you see, the truth is that there are some clothes we can do without. Yeah, there are some things we can do without. There are some things we can do without. Why? Because of the conscience of those who are weak. Because we know there might be nothing wrong in that, but in the real sense, we are planning on making up our minds to make sure we mix our knowledge with love. For in doing that, we bring edification to others. Look at verse 9. But take heed, lest by this means of this liberty. So liberty is actually going to be knowledge. So when it says verse 9, take heed, lest by this means this liberty of yours, in context, that word the liberty will be knowledge. Yeah, take heed lest by this knowledge of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So liberty is knowledge in that verse context. Yeah, so what has he been discussing? Knowledge from verse 1. Remember what he calls it? Knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. Yeah, what does he call it? He now calls it liberty. So liberty, which is actually knowledge in that context, has a capacity or tendency to make one arrogant. Yeah, what is arrogant? Being puffed up. So be careful we have to be careful so that what we know doesn't begin to make us treat people anyhow or not consider others, or doesn't make us consider others at all. So in the actions we do, we must consider others. We must consider others. Yeah, see, who taught them the knowledge? It was Paul. Who taught them the knowledge? It was Paul. Yeah, Paul was, in fact, remember Acts chapter 18, when he joined Aquila and Priscilla in tent making, and he taught for 3 years in Corinth. So Paul was their spiritual father, the founder of the church in Corinth. Paul is the one now telling them, you people have grown now in knowledge. No, you must make sure you mix your knowledge with what? Love. For love edified. So using your knowledge of Jesus Christ for selfish aim is not what is taught in scriptures. So we look at people with and through the eyes of the love of God. Because the love of God is for men and not for ourselves. Altogether. So when you come to issues of is he right, is he wrong, the love of God for others should be preeminent, should predominate. So we have to consider others in spite of what we know. In spite and despite of what we know or what we don't know, in the real sense, we are to consider others. There are things you will do and there are things that you will not do, not because they are wrong, but because you are considering others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a man of God, as a man of God that we are, as a man of God that we all are, we are to make sure that even with our knowledge, yeah, love, 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 love is the foundation for our actions. Love should influence our actions. Love should influence the things we say. Love should influence our actions, the things we do, where we find ourselves, where we go to. Love, love, love. Yeah, if you like, sit down and do an exegesis on why something is not wrong. What does Paul say? You have the knowledge, but let love be in the middle of that knowledge. So it's not about what you know. It's about your brother, your sisters around you, those around you, those around you, those around you. See what it says in verse 9. It says, but take heed, lest by any means this knowledge, liberty of yours, becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man sees thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Practical example. Yeah, this temple is Shango's temple. You as a believer, you go there, you are eating Shango meat with Shango. Yeah, because we are product of influences, people are watching, and people will begin to do things based on what you just did. What is Paul teaching? If any man sees thee, you, which has knowledge, sitting at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened? Remember, Paul said there is nothing unclean. Yeah, one of the issues Peter had, yeah? You know, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those which are offered to idols? Yeah, look at what he says in verse 11. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. So your knowledge must not be a stumbling block. Your knowledge, so there's a tendency for knowledge to what? Influence others to perish. So in the real sense, like I was saying, I was saying earlier today, your people will say that if Joshua is a Christian, me, I'm an archangel. Joshua, a Christian, he goes to church. It simply means that my conduct is not well influenced and permeated with love. I don't do things through the love of Christ, through the lens of the love of God. Yeah, look at your stuff. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat makes my brother to be offended, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to be offended. See, love walk. Is there anything wrong in eating meat? No. So you must read at that context. It's a contextual read. Yeah. So you must use that example to view other things. So Paul is using an example with meat. That should influence the things we do. So as saints, there's a time in our life where we should be like Paul. Wherefore, if this thing I'm doing is going to make a brother offended, if this thing I'm doing is going to make a brother or disallow a brother from coming into the gospel, what do? I put it away. What is that? I'm mixing my knowledge with the love of God. Look at Galatians 5 again. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Yeah. You see, you are at liberty to eat anything, to drink anything. But because of what the love of God will do, yeah, considering others over yourself. Look at Galatians 5 again. Galatians 5, 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. What did Paul say? If this will wound the conscience of another, I put away, I put aside. Yeah, love doesn't insist on itself. Love doesn't insist on self. Love doesn't amplify self. Love amplifies the love of God. Love considers others above yourself. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. Yeah, walking in the Spirit is walking in love. That is, it influences your context. So, the same way Paul said, I will put meat aside. It's the same way as a saint. You say, I will put this cloth aside. I will put these dresses aside. I will put this habit aside. Come together. See, there's some things you think you cannot do without, but you can really do without. You know, see, look at it. There's some things that need to be said. Yeah, so the same way Paul, go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 8. Look at it. Paul has already told us from the previous verses that there is no idol apart from God. There is only one God. Even though some people acknowledge there are many gods and many lords, there's only one God. Paul has already acknowledged that, eating meat or not eating meat doesn't change anything about your eternal state. But eating meat has a tendency of influencing others to eat meat. Yeah, see, look at it. Look at it. There's some people who, when they see you do some things, they take it a step further. Man has a tendency to take a step further what he learns or what he sees. Think about it. Yeah. So if you, if you have a child, while growing up around a child, you know, your actions around your child, very soon you start seeing your actions or your child do things that you're doing. So a lot of times you are fighting your child, but in the real sense, they learn those things from you. Yeah. Your conduct must be something that brings edification. What did Paul say in verse 13? Wherefore, if meat makes my brother to sin, if meat makes my brother to be offended, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to be offended. So love edifies. Love thinks of others over itself. Love is not proud. Love is not boastful. Love doesn't do anything the way it wants. Love doesn't do anything as it pleases. Love does things as it should. Love considers others. Love considers the brothers. Love considers the brethren. Love considers those or people that are around. Love considers others. Yeah, so conduct, see, look at it. You know what I told you? The message of the gospel doesn't put fear in you, doesn't put anxiety in you. However, the message of the gospel also brings correction. Second Timothy. So in your heart, you might be having some promptings to dispose some clothes away. Yeah, take no time to do that. Why? You must be like Paul. Yeah, so when you go to a shop, you want to buy a cloth, it looks good on your body, it fits your body, because you have a figure 8, you have a figure 8.5, you have a figure 9.2, you have any figure, any shape you have, yeah, it fits your body, it suits your body. Yeah, what would the love of God do? What would that do? What would that do? What would I do influence? Or what way will I do influence others? Would it influence others negatively? Would it influence others positively? Hallelujah. What will love of God do? Yeah. So love is the highest law that guides my knowledge. I've said that over and over and over again this evening. Love is the highest law that guides my knowledge. See, love puts your knowledge in check. Yeah. If you don't apply love with your knowledge, if you don't consider love with your knowledge, you will be like the Corinthians who are puffed up, arrogant. I can wear anything I want. It's not my body. It's my body now. It's me. No. Paul reminds them, you are the temple of God. Yeah. You must never allow your knowledge, allow a brother, yeah, to go into where it should not go to. See, let it be that when a brother does something that is bad, he cannot point his attention to something you did that influenced it. Same thing with the sister. Let the sister say that when she's convicted by the law or anything, that he does something that is wrong, let it be that you did not do anything to influence that. See, in the real sense, either you allow love to mix with your knowledge or not, yeah, people will still be who they are, or who they choose to be, or who they are not, in the real sense, yeah. But you must never, because of that, not now do your part. Yeah, what is your part? You owe them. You owe them to mix your knowledge with love. You owe them to mix your knowledge with love. So there are a lot of things you should not be found doing, not because they are wrong, but because what? You have to what consider what as in love. So love is the highest law that guides my knowledge. Lift your hands wherever you are. Say, the love of God guides my knowledge. The love of God guides my knowledge. The love of God is about others, not me. Say that. The love of God is about others, not me. Oh, glory to God. The love of God is the highest law that guides my knowledge. It guides my thoughts. It guides my thought system. It guides my way. It guides my path. Hallelujah. So a question to always ask yourself, are my actions born out of love? Do I consider others? Do I consider others? Do I consider others? Yeah, so you will not bring something to me as an example and say, so this answers a lot of questions you might have as Christians. Yeah, except you want to be deceptive, yeah, or insincere. There's some questions you should not ask again, because this already gives answers to a lot of our questions. What does the love of God teach? What does the love of God teach? What does the love of God do? Hallelujah. Look at it again. Wherefore, verse 13, wherefore, if meat, makes my brother to be offended. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. See what it says in verse chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Yeah. Am I not free? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus, our Lord? Are not in my walk in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the zeal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not the power to eat and to drink? Have we not the power to lead about a sister, glory to God, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas have not with the power to forbear walking? Yeah, you know, he's kept teaching like that. Yeah, we have the liberty to say what we want. But the love of God is the foundation. It influences our decisions. It influences the things we say, the things we do, the things we say, the things we do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this evening. I trust you've been able to learn a few things here and there. Until I come your way again on Sunday, have a lovely night rest. Have a good rest. Jesus is glorified always through you. Yeah. Remember, you are one who is born to live a life as it should, as the world gives, not as it pleases. Cheers. I love you all.